This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, 9:09, here we go. I'm being told in my ear that Newell Norman is back in town and actually ready to go to work today. We'll see how that plays out. We're going to talk about oysters. We're going to talk about the Saints this hour. I know my neighbor used to be in the oyster business. My neighbor might still be in the oyster business, but he's not my neighbor anymore. He moved. But I had a neighbor in the oyster business, let's put it that way, and I would look at the equipment and the stuff that he had, and oyster farming is a violent, hard-working, back-breaking work to do that. But now it's a little bit different with off-bottom oysters, and we're going to talk about that with Elizabeth Robinson, director of the Louisiana Sea Grant Oyster Research Laboratory, and Michael C., how do you say it, Wasson? Elizabeth?
Wazan.
Huh? Wazan?
Wazan.
Wazan, Oyster Hatchery. Tell me, how does Elizabeth Robinson turn into a Sea Grant oyster researcher?
You know, it's been a very interesting process. Mm-hmm. So I have a few degrees in biology, got my PhD in oceanography and coastal science. Did a postdoc doing soft-shell crab biology and research with soft-shell crab production. And so from there, I just transitioned somehow naturally into oyster biology and production research.
Tell us, for people that don't understand, I know they know the concept of it. I had a conversation with Tommy Satanovich about 6 months ago, maybe, about these off-bottom oysters. We talked with Jerry Bologna about the Grand Isle version. What are they? How do you raise them? What do they taste like? What does a hatchery look like? What kind of volume can you do here? Take me from the beginning of it.
Yeah, sure. So the oyster hatchery in Grand Isle, Louisiana, is owned by the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Mm-hmm. And LDWF contracts Louisiana Sea Grant to operate the hatchery and produce oyster larvae. And so we go through a magnitude of steps. We produce algae to produce these oyster larvae. And then we use these oyster larvae for state oyster restoration projects. And then when seed supply is low for these off-bottom oyster farmers, we are able to produce seed for them. So we will set that seed on something that's called microculch, which is ground-up oyster shell. And we're able to produce seed about 2 millimeter before they go to a nursery, an oyster nursery, where we can raise them a little bit larger and distribute those seed to the farmers that place orders with the state.
All right, let me take a step back.
And so,
let me take a step back for a second, because, and I'm going to bring it to this point, and you can take me forward, okay? When a mama oyster and a daddy oyster love each other very much, but how do you get the seed to even start oysters to grow? That's what I'm confused about.
So we're going back to mommy and daddy oysters.
Where do they come from? What do you start with, spat, or do they start with oysters?
We actually start with Yeah, so we actually start with wild broodstock oysters.
Okay.
So we get wild oysters from several different areas across the state of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And oysters are male and female.
Okay.
And so through, we will condition our oysters in the springtime to where they're what we call ripe, so mm-hmm. that they're producing a lot of eggs and a lot of sperm. And then we'll manipulate water temperature to get these broodstock or parent oysters to spawn. And then we'll collect those eggs, we'll collect the sperm, and we'll mix them together, and then we'll grow out these larvae that eventually transition into what we call a petty villager larvae. And they have a little foot, and they use that foot to crawl around and find essentially home before they decide to submit and become that sessile oyster that we're familiar with.
Wow. So how do we go from that to off-bottom farming? And I see a picture of you in the newspaper here with some yellow stuff in a bag. What is all that about?
Oh, yeah. So to go to farming, like I said previously, we'll set it on microculture. And so that microculture, setting it on microculture, allows us to produce that single seed. And so that single seed, a farmer can take that single seed and put that seed in their gear that they're using on their farm. So some farmers are using cages, which are like bags and cages that float at the surface. Others are just using floating bags. Some oyster farmers are using gear that's called a flip farm. And so there's several different types of gear that they're using. But by floating that gear at the water surface, the oysters are able to filter all of that great algae and phytoplankton abundance at the surface of the water to feed and grow.
So,
and then the picture that you see in the paper with the yellow stuff, that's a parasite of oysters called boring sponge. And so sometimes when environmental conditions aren't great for oysters, they can get this parasite, and it just causes their oyster shell to be really brittle.
So here's what I'm wondering. And, you know, again, I talked to Tommy Satanovich about this, and I understand. But I'm wondering about the scale of this when it comes to how many off-bottom oysters can be farmed. What does it look like, a hatchery, or how many oysters? And then once you harvest them, what do you start all over with the mama and daddy again, or what? How does that work?
So farmers are consistently looking for oyster seed to replenish their gear or their crop on their farm. Right now, we estimate in the state of Louisiana that we have, our oyster farmers have the capacity to produce 20 million oysters a season, but they're not at full production right now, so it's probably lower than that. But ideally, the scale of our off-bottom oyster farms is not at a capacity to replace our traditional oyster industry. So you'll sometimes hear as off-bottom farmers as alternative oyster culture, and it's simply just an alternative way to grow oysters.
So what is it that...
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At is, and Tommy Stanovich told me, I hate to keep going back to him, but he is the oyster guy, that he, you could blindfold him and he could taste the difference between off-bottom oyster and a regular oyster. Can you do that, Elizabeth? Or
I cannot do that, okay. No.
So what goes into the development of the oyster, why it's different, or why would we want to do it this way?
It's not different. I mean, you're still getting a high quality oyster. The traditional oystermen are still producing a very high quality oyster, like our off bottom oyster farmers. Mm-hmm. The difference is the amount, is the workload. So, as you mentioned, these off bottom oyster farmers, it's very labor intensive. You know, they have to go out weekly and check their oysters, work their oysters, clean their cages. Whereas a traditional oysterman, they don't have to tend to their oysters on a weekly basis. They're basically just putting out colch and relying on that natural recruitment process to grow oysters. And then they'll dredge their oyster leases for oysters. So they're both very labor intensive. It's just two different types of labor and gear costs.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, Elizabeth, and picture it, what it would look like, an oyster farm. How much water mm-hmm. are you talking about would it take up? Do people lease the water from the state, or they just put this stuff in the water, or how does all of that work?
So it's a mixture of different scenarios. So in the state of Louisiana, we right now have two oyster parks. One in Cameron Parish and one in Grand Isle that are owned by their parish port commissions. Mm-hmm. And so the port commission will lease water bottom or farm space to oystermen who want to do this off-bottom oyster farming. We also have one private farm close to Grand Isle, and that the owner of that private farm will also lease out space for oyster farmers. And then after that, if you're really interested into getting into oyster farming, you have to already own water bottom to get a farm started.
Even though the oysters are not on a bottom, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to figure out is when you talk about these cages or these bags, how many can they hold? Because I'm just going to a sack of oysters, how that in the scope of, you know, the number of oysters that are produced is nothing. And it would just seem as though I don't see where this becomes practical to do. What am I missing here?
So an oyster bag can hold, I mean, it depends on your water quality and the flow through your farm. But, you know, some farmers may stock their gear pretty low. They may have 100 oysters mm-hmm. per bag. Some farmers may have great water quality, and they may be able to stock their bags a little higher with like 300 oysters. And these are when I say 300, I'm saying when these oysters grow into inch and a half, 2-inch oysters. So the farmers are you sometimes hear them described as this boutique oyster. Mm-hmm. So they're this perfect one-bite oyster that makes them different, a little bit different than a traditional on-bottom oyster. So they're not, they're made for the half-shell raw market and not so much the
fried stuffing, whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So then you talk about the boutique oysters, the off-bottom oysters. Those are the ones made for the half shell because they're prettier, they present better?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we eat with our eyes, and mm-hmm. so they just look better.
Now, let me take a break. I want to pick it up here when we come back, because I'm still trying to understand how they could do this on a scale large enough. And I know you said it's not going to be a replacement. But we'll go back to the idea behind this. What was the genesis of it and what started it? And I'm still trying to wrap my mind about how this can be done on a large enough scale to produce enough oysters for a guy like me to eat. We're talking to Elizabeth Robinson, director of Louisiana Sea Grant Oyster Research Laboratory, and Michael C. Voisin, Oyster Hatchery, about off-bottom oysters. It seems to be the new thing, and we'll continue to talk. If you got any questions, 504-260-1870. Text them in. There are no dumb questions. I'm trying to learn about this. We'll be back, WWL. We are learning about off-the-bottom oysters. I know Tommy Satanovich, our friend, told me about these a long time ago, and then we talked to Jerry Bologna about Grand Isle Jewels, I think is what they call them. They're trying to brand them as that and market them. Elizabeth Robinson's our guest, director of the Louisiana Sea Grant Oyster Research Laboratory, and Michael C. Voisin Oyster Hatchery. So, Elizabeth, where did the idea for this come from? Who thought of growing oysters in cages as opposed to the traditional way? And why?
It's my understanding that it was actually a traditional oysterman from the Grand Isle region that got this idea of growing oysters in cages. The why is completely unknown to me. Maybe he was just looking for an alternative to the traditional harvesting.
So I'm looking at another picture here, and y'all can find the story at NOLA.com, but he's with the cages of the oysters, and I said earlier when you came on, a neighbor of mine, former neighbor, was in the oyster business, and I know it's a violent business, a very back-breaking business, and I'm thinking, well, why would this guy go out and turn these cages every week? But then again, I guess it's a lot easier when it comes time to harvest than it is in a traditional way, so you can either work now or work later. Is there one that's more labor-friendly than the other?
I think they're both very labor-intensive, but I think it's like you said, you can work now, you can work later.
So when it comes to pollution and those kind of things, or the flavor of the oyster, how much of that can be manipulated by moving them around, or how much of that is dependent upon where they're raised or farmed?
Yeah, so the growth of the oyster, when you're moving that gear around, you're actually chipping off the bill of what we call the bill of the oyster, and that helps stimulate oyster growth. And then, you know, the water quality varies bay to bay within the state of Louisiana, so your oysters are experiencing a different mineral and vitamin content of the water that they're filtering, and so your oysters can have a different mineral taste compared to other areas. So I think I've heard that the Grand Isle oysters are kind of buttery. I may be getting that confused with the Cameron oysters, but the water quality is what gives your oyster the flavor. And it's true. Texas oysters taste different than Louisiana oysters. Mississippi and Alabama oysters taste different than Louisiana oysters. And so to best, you know, try that flavor profile, find an oyster bar that just offers a wide variety of oysters and sit them next to each other and taste them side by side and see which one you prefer.
So the story talks about an oyster fisherman that has 300 cages and 4 feet of water. He flips the cages every week to encourage oyster growth. And I guess my question is, how long does it take until he can harvest those 300 cages? How many oysters is he going to get out of that? And then at what point do you start again? And how long does the cycle take to get back to where you're harvesting again?
Yeah, so they, from the time that an oysterman puts seed in his gear, he's typically getting those oysters to market within 9 to 12 months. And so our oyster farmers, because they're out on the oyster farms every week, I think that farmer that you mentioned is harvesting maybe 2,000 oysters a week. And so he's also, as he's removing oysters, he's also adding oysters to new seed to his farm. So he's constantly rotating those oysters in and out of his gear, which allows those oyster farmers to harvest oysters year round.
So what kind of area would lend itself to off-bottom oyster farming? I know they talked about Grand Isle, but are there areas in the state or in the, tell me about that.
Yeah. So you want an area that's got some protection. So the parks in Grand Isle is like behind a barrier island. So you kind of want some protection from high wave energy. And then you also want, at the same time, you want an area that's got relatively great flow of water through the gear so that your oysters are getting a great algae phytoplankton food supply. So Grand Isle is a great location. Cameron, there's a park in Cameron that's a great location. But what you also want is you want your park to be fairly close to the shore. You want it to be accessible. You don't. One thing that is different between the traditional oystermen and the off-bottom farmers is they don't spend a significant amount of time on their boats. They drive out to their farm. They do what they need to do with their oysters, and they drive back. They have to be within an hour of land because they need to get their oysters into, you know, from the moment those oysters leave the water, they have an hour to get those oysters into refrigeration. So they also have to be very close to shore so that they can get their oysters chilled.
Is this something they could do
according
to
code
in Lake Pontchartrain or not?
No, Lake Pontchartrain isn't preferable because it's not salty.
Okay.
So they also want a really good salt content. So a lot of our farmers were actually a little stressed out when the Mississippi River was high,
right,
because the salinity at Grand Isle dropped. And so they were losing that salty quality of their oyster.
When it comes to pearls, somebody texted in, do these oysters yield pearls or not?
It's rare, very rare.
And that's because of no grit? And is that where the oyster starts? Or are the pearl starts? Or am I making that up?
So the pearl, yeah, so a pearl is formed when a contaminant, like a grain of sand or something, gets embedded mm-hmm. into the oyster tissue. And so the oyster will build that pearl in order to protect it from that contaminant. Typically, you find pearls in more of in different species of oysters. So like the oysters that are coming from Asia, China or something like that, they're more common as pearl builders than the Louisiana oyster.
So what about availability year-round? Somebody texted in. Does this affect any of that? Or are oysters available year-round? And the you know, the thing that everybody's grandpa says about only in a month with an R, I know that had to do with refrigeration. Is any of that accurate or not? Elizabeth?
Yeah, so oysters are available year-round. And that's actually one thing that people in because of refrigeration, so we often say that refrigeration is the new R, and so that allows us to provide oysters year-round.
That's good, the new R. I like that. Anything else I'm missing you wanted to add I should ask you or should have asked you and didn't?
No, I think that covers it.
All right, I'm going to have to try one of these, see what they taste like. If y'all have had them, let me know. Text me at 504-260-1870 if you've had an off-bottom, that's what they call them, right, Elizabeth, off-bottom oysters?
Correct.
Yeah, off-bottom oysters. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Mike Haas, Voice of the Saints. He's out at training camp. See what's going on with the OTAs. 9:35. Traffic now. WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.